This is Brother Vinicius Theophilus from a good sales call to a great sales call. Close more by doing what you do best. He's the president of Innova Consulting Group, market research and consulting firm. He's a sought-after speaker and a recognized thought leader in win-loss analysis and sales training. And let us say, Richard Hyde, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. In today's world, selling, do we have a different definition today than we had 5, 10, 15 years ago? Do we have a different kind of a consumer out there?
Well, I think in today's market you do. I mean, obviously people are more sensitive than ever to really all sorts of business concerns. So I think, you know, in this market it is a little bit harder to sell into, although I hopefully we're stabilizing at some point. But, you know, I think the basic tenets of sales remain the same as they were 5, 10, you know, even 20 years ago. But I think, you know, there's a lot of things you can do as always to improve your sales performance. So,
now, sales isn't just accidental, is it? Or do you have to kind of have a step-by-step process also?
You do. It's, you know, I think some people think it's accidental. I think some salespeople approach it as a, you know, purely a chemistry type of thing, or and not putting, you know, as much thought into it as it can be. But there's a lot of psychology around selling. There's really 7 phases to it. You know, when you think about it, 1 is prospecting. Obviously, you got to get in the door. 2 is building rapport. You have to, you know, establish some sort of chemistry with the prospect. 3 is you got to identify their needs. 4 you've got to then present solutions. 5 is handling any objections they may have. 6 is closing. And 7 is really what the book is about, which is, you know, debriefing with the prospect after you win or lose, which is something that, you know, all salespeople do, but they don't typically do it very well at all. And that's kind of what the focus of the book is around, you know, how do you debrief with prospects better after you win or lose so that you can understand why and how you can improve your performance in the future.
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years, and in many years with this, and it's this, if you had a brick-and-mortar store and someone came into your store, if they come into your store, obviously that there's an interest there. One of 2 things happen. You sell it or you talk them out of it.
Fair enough.
And I think there's probably a tremendous amount of people, salespeople, that talk people out of it if they don't have a process. But let's press on the debriefing. Let's define what that is.
Sure. Well, just as a background, I think as you mentioned, I run a market research firm, and for 12 years I've been doing what's called win-loss analysis for large sales teams, for players like you know, Charles Schwab, Fidelity Investments, ADP, those types of firms that have very large sales teams. And what they have hired my firm to do over the years is do in-depth phone interviews with prospects on behalf of their sales team after the fact to help their sales team better understand why they win and lose. And, Michael, you know what we found from doing that research is a lot of times what we do as part of this work is we match up the reasons that salespeople think that they lose versus what prospects will tell us as an independent third party. And it only matches up about 40% of the time, which means, you know, when you think about it, salespeople, they get an epithet dysfunction. They don't really understand why they win and lose. So what the book is trying to do in this debrief process is to show, you know, average salespeople that are out there, maybe not a part of a big firm, how to do this better on their own. Obviously, not everybody has access to, you know, the best professional coaching and the best type of independent third party, but there are a lot of things that salespeople can learn and how to debrief prospects better in the end. You know, what we found is only about 18% of companies have an outside third party that does this kind of work for them. So there's 25 salespeople in the U.S. That means about 20 million salespeople don't really have access to having an independent third party do debriefs on their behalf. So there's a heck of a lot of salespeople out there that need to do learn how to do this better on their own. And a lot of them are also going to be small business owners as well. 25 million salespeople in the U.S., about 10 million of them are entrepreneurs and small business owners that would never have access to, you know, having a high-quality third-party market research firm do this work for them. So those 10 million entrepreneurs need to learn how to do this better on their own, not only for their sales process, but to understand their products and services better, as well as to gather competitive intelligence.
I think the important thing about what you're saying is that, in Richard, I've seen time and again, there's a blind spot when somebody's trying to communicate with someone. And their blind spot is this. I get persuaded in a particular way. There's certain things and certain ways you can say things to me, and I'm going to be persuaded. But that doesn't mean that the person I'm talking to is going to be persuaded in the same way that I am.
That's correct.
I can be talking to a wall.
Right.
So I have to learn how other people have learned to hear, comprehend, understand how they take it in before I can go out and be successful.
Right. There's a great saying. It doesn't matter what you say, it's what they hear.
Yeah.
And in sales, you know, that's more true than in any other, function or business situation. And, you know, really, the idea here is about getting feedback. I mean, at the end of the day, whether you win or lose a deal, as salespeople, we all say, well, why did I lose? You know, everybody asks that question. But what most salespeople do is they don't really do it in the most professional and high-quality way. So what the book teaches to show is how to do it, how to do what I call post-sales etiquette. You know, after you get through with the sales process and you lose a deal, you're actually not technically in the sales process anymore. At that point, you're almost a researcher. So you got to learn how to get better feedback. And you know, there's a lot of reasons prospects aren't candid with salespeople about the reasons that they lose, but there's also a lot of ways that salespeople inhibit the feedback process as well. And we kind of go into that in the book. You know, a lot of them aren't as well prepared to do this. They don't know how to ask the right questions. They don't know what questions to ask. A lot of them, approach it in a very haphazard way. So there is an art form to it, and it's just as important as any other part of the sales process.
And by the way, Richard, you said it all right there. There's an art form to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a long time ago, you ask the wrong question, you get the right answers to the wrong question, you don't get anywhere.
That's right.
It's learning to ask the right questions, and you're both moving forward in the same direction.
Yeah, and it's also about neutralizing your questioning disposition. A lot of salespeople are trained to, don't feel like you ask for hope in all the questions. You know, you say, well, Michael, what do you think of my presentation? Or didn't you think the presentation went well? Well, that's really skewing the feedback that you get. And the way that we show in the book is you can neutralize your questioning disposition simply by adding the word or not at the end of your question. So if I said, Michael, did you like the presentation or not? That lets you know, hey, I'm open to negative criticism.
Yeah.
And I'm open to feedback, whether it's good or bad. And what we found is you actually get a lot more honest feedback if you let the prospect know, you're open to negative criticism. Or you could say something like, can I get your advice? Or how can I make this better? You know, that's a very different question than, hey, what do you think of the presentation? That sounds like you're asking for hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you neutralize that question disposition, and Michael, it's not just at the end of the sales process either. This is a lot of the tactics we go into are really effective while you're selling too, and during the sales process. So we've ironically found that a lot of the best practices of debriefing are also really, really valuable when you're in the sales process as well.
The reason I think this is so critically important to somebody who's going to be out in the field selling is that we have the internet now. You've got a completely different kind of consumer. There isn't anything you can't find on that internet. And I think one of the biggest competitors any kind of a salesperson has out there in the field is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, you're absolutely right. Consumers are more educated now than ever. So, you asked at the beginning of the show what's changed in the last 10 years. I think you're right. Salespeople are continually having to elevate their skill set and become more knowledgeable about their products, about the competition, and so forth, because, salespeople are always trying to get better. It's part of their game, but, you really do need to keep elevating your skill sets, and I just think the best way to do that is by really learning why you win and lose. I always ask salespeople, if you don't really know why you're winning and losing, how can you get better?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah.
But then I think a lot of the people that do this, they don't know to ask. And I think that's really what's important. If you sit down with somebody, time and again, if you just look at that person and say, what did you need to hear that I didn't say that would have caused whatever?
Right.
And if you just shut up, half the time somebody's going to tell you, and then you can move from there.
That's right. Another great point we talked about in the book, most salespeople do their debrief right when they hear they lost the deal.
Yeah.
And so the prospect, they call up the prospect, they were hoping to get the business, the prospect says, no, we ended up going with a competitor. And what we've found from a lot of the research that we did, we found that the prospect's mindset in that very moment, what it is? They want to get you off the phone as soon as possible. I use the analogy of it's like breaking up with your girlfriend in high school. You don't want to sit around and explain why.
Yeah.
you want to get out of the room and move on. Maybe you want to go talk to the girl that you want to date next, but the bottom line is prospects want to get you off the phone as quickly as possible, and that's why salespeople are often get a lot of feedback that's inaccurate at best and incomplete and rushed conversation. So what we've seen salespeople how to do is to actually disengage from the prospect at that moment, accept the loss, move past it, and that's what the prospect wants is for you to accept it, and then set up a separate call to do the debrief and get the feedback. Just ask the prospect, hey, I understand your decision. I'm not going to try to change it. Wondering, can we set up 10 minutes next week? I'd like to debrief with you and learn what I could do better in the future. Helps me get more professional and so forth. And we found that helps both the prospect and the salespeople person gain composure. And, you know, also salespeople are kind of in shock at that moment when they lose. They've been rejected. So they're not in a great objective position or in a great emotional situation to really accept the feedback at that point.
You know, we've got about a minute to go, but there's that old adage about that men are more powerful than women and so on and so forth. And I think if you've been in marketing for any stretch of time, you've heard it 90% of the time. That's my
right.
The power is. Listen, we've got to go. Do you have a website you can find that?
We do. It's www.theanovagroup.com. I'll spell it out. It's T-A-C. A, N as in Nancy, O, V as in Victor, A, GROUP.com. And actually, salespeople, if they want to go there, they can download free debrief guides. We also, one of the things we mentioned in the book is using just a simple questionnaire. You know, having the questions organized, and salespeople can go there, and there's a lot of great tools for them that they can use for free to get off the website to help them to improve this book.
Richard Schroeder, we got to go, but thank you so much for spending your time with us.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Have a great night. I appreciate talking to you.
Take care. Good night.
All the best.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Lane. You're listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.